Hello and welcome to Two Old Dolphins Podcast. It's a wonderful Tuesday evening in lovely San Diego. How are you doing tonight, Alex?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm okay.
It's getting nice and chilly now, huh?
Yeah, I like how it cools off at night and, you know.
Feeling a little Christmassy.
Still warm during the day.
And then at night it starts. I mean, there was ice in my car the other day.
No kidding.
On Saturday morning, yeah.
But, you know, today there was a food truck out front of the place I work, and I don't normally go to them, but it was an Italian food truck, and so I had a craving, and I just went, okay. So I sat outside on a beautiful afternoon and enjoyed it.
An Italian food truck. Now, I don't think, usually they're Mexicans, right?
The place that I work had quite a string of them for a while, where like every other day there was a different food truck, and it was always gourmet food trucks, like the type you see on Food Network, Great Food Truck Race, or, you know, whatever show. So
cool.
I mean, every week or every other day it was something different. You know, and it's funny, I'd have to strain to think of a Mexican one, because they were all like unique, you know. The French patisserie,
French,
and the pizza truck,
French food
and
truck.
It was all like they were competing on Top Chef or something.
You know, I went to a foodies festival, the one in Qualcomm Stadium out here in San Diego.
Oh yeah,
and it was supposed to, you know, I mean, it just was a natural.
Why didn't I go?
Well, you're lucky you didn't go.
Oh no, it wasn't good.
It cost a small fortune to get in. I invited the company to go, so I had all the employees go for U.S. Green, and we thought it was going to be a great event. You know, you get to, you know, go and have food.
It sounds like a great event.
It was all food trucks, and
they
overpriced.
Were good? Well, food trucks are overpriced.
Anyway,
they're all overpriced.
Overpriced and just not good. So when you were telling me you're different, I keep thinking I probably visited all of those during that period, and I wasn't very happy. So
yeah, well, during that run where they were really making an effort to schedule all the different ones, they always sounded better than they were. I think I wanted to try every one of them because, you know, I'm into food, and I've watched some of those.
I think I did that day.
I've watched some of those episodes of Top Chef where they're, you know, they do the food truck thing and they're trying to make, you know, upscale, you know, one-up food items in a food truck. And so I'd read the menu and these things sounded amazing, like a fine dining restaurant in a food truck. And then they deliver it and you paid a lot and it's.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's eh. It's not bad, but it's not good either. It's not worth it.
Well, buddy, we did it, huh? The Dolphins pulled off the victory against
That's what we're here to talk about.
The Bills, huh?
Another week talking about the Miami Dolphins. Something we both love doing. Happy that we're doing it. And we have a win. And I got to be honest with you, this may be the least excited I've ever been about a win over the Bills, which I have extra special dislike for, having lived quite a large portion of my life, not in Buffalo, but in upstate New York area.
With a lot of Buffalo fans up
there. You know, it was a good combination of all three New York teams, right? If you consider the Giants to be a New York team, Giants and Jets and Buffalo.
But
it was closer to Buffalo than the other two. So, so yeah, lots of Bills fans. And it was especially bad that I lived there during that Jim Kelly era when they went to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row.
And lost 4 years in a row.
Yes. Well, that was the only glorious part. But I didn't really, I mean, I rooted against them and I enjoyed that they lost. But, you know, it was because they beat the Dolphins to get there. So
a few times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this game was a strange game. I mean, I don't know if we want to cover, you know.
Yeah, I want to go through the
whole
game.
Bit by bit.
Hey, I take copious notes and I pay attention to what happens.
But I got to say that, okay, so right when we take the kickoff, it was really nice to see us drive down the field and for the second week in a row
score a touchdown. And it was a nice pass by Ryan Tannehill.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it was actually a pretty great catch by Parker.
Yes.
And so it was all those things that, you know, we've been critical of players and the team, you know, over the years and this year too. And both of them had a good play. I mean, you know, just because we feel that we're an underwhelming team doesn't mean we can't enjoy those moments when the players on our team have a good moment.
And by the way, Scotty, we're going to cover today the Bills game. Obviously, talk about next week's opponent, the hated Patriots. And in the middle there, I think it's going to be fun. We talked about it earlier, about looking at the three indispensable players on both offense and defense, and maybe name a couple of honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. It wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, so I'm sure you've done your homework, and I'll be quite honest with you, teacher. I am going to go off the cuff because I thought a little bit of it about it when I was driving, and then my mind moved on to something else, and I didn't really come up with solid answers. I have solid answers on defense.
Yeah, I think both were interesting. We'll get to it. So the game, huh? So the first drive, incredible. We score. So, yeah. It was nice.
So, and during that drive, I saw Tanner get whacked hard three times.
Yes.
And I said, he's not going to be standing at the end of this game. Mm-hmm. So when we were talking earlier and you were making fun of Gase saying, you know, Tanny's a tough son of a bitch or whatever it was that he said, what was your quote? What was his quote? Because I didn't listen to that particular press conference.
He's a tough
conference.
Guy, whatever, something like that.
Yeah. I got to agree.
Well, Tanny is a tough guy.
He is a tough guy.
He's a tough guy.
He's taken quite a beating over the years.
He's got a hot wife and he's a tough guy.
Yeah. Man,
that's
part of the beating he takes is his own fault because he holds onto the ball way too long. There were several times during this game in critical moments where he held it for over 3 seconds and was just, you know, staring or just looked like a deer in the headlights. I mean, you know, he's looking downfield and not seeing somebody open, obviously, but you got to do something. You got to move. You got to move in the shift in the pocket, or you got to start running, or you got to throw the ball away. There's lots of things to do other than take a sack. So, he just, you know, one of the career-long criticisms that crops up fairly regularly is that he doesn't have that clock in his head, you know. Or if he does, it just goes past the time and, you know, doesn't make things happen or, you know, throw the ball away just to be safe. Okay, so I had one other note during the first drive, and I got to give credit to the broadcast crew for stating this. And it did make me scratch my head a little bit when during the first drive they made the point Ted Larson is the lowest rating starting guard in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus, the lowest rated.
It boggles the mind how we cannot correct this offensive line. Now, we did have a couple of bad injuries this year.
Yeah.
But, boy, we
Well, we lost our mountain man of a guard in the first game or after the first game or whatever,
right? A couple of games out and he's done, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And other analysts I've heard have said, well, who didn't see that coming? Because, you know, the last couple of years he's been breaking down.
It'd be a great idea if we could actually draft an offensive line, but we've tried that, obviously.
Yeah, we've been pretty much of a failure at that over the years, too.
Well, this game...
pretty much.
If you look at this game, the Bills got the ball, they punted, then we punted, then they punted, then we punted. And then,
you're going through pretty fast.
I mean, that's
okay. Yeah. So the Bills punted and we got the ball back, and here was a perfect example on this second time we got the ball of Tannehill holding the ball too long, standing in the end zone.
Yeah.
In the end zone, and
lucky
so
it wasn't a safety.
I thought it was a safety, and it was only by replay.
Yes.
Yeah. Rob, you know, when they slowed it down,
when it was live, it sure looked like a safety.
Yes.
I said, "Oh no, it's not." Yeah,
exactly.
Great. Then our MVP special team player came in and did a 50-yard punt.
Yeah, and you know the other thing that the commenter said at the end of the first drive after we kicked off after that touchdown was that Sanders now leads the NFL with touchbacks. So we have a superstar punter and a great kicker.
Who's one
of first-year guy and a rookie.
Look, our punter, by the way, is fifth in the NFL in punting. Right now, he's 45.5 yards. Seems like every punt he does is 50, 45 yards. It's amazing. But our kicker is 24th, and that's because he doesn't get the opportunities.
Yeah. That's strictly based on points.
It's on points.
That's not on percentage.
I mean, this last game, he got 3 points.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't get the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at the wrong ranking. The percentage of success should be the right ranking for
kicker.
I mean, you got to have a minimum amount of attempts.
No kicker nobody cares. You know, get the points.
True, yeah. So on the next Bills possession, it was one of those, as one of our favorite rookies, dropped a pick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Minka. But they ended up punting. So Dolphins get the ball back, and Drake drops a third and long and gave us to finish off yet another three and out.
Well, on that drive, I liked that we were showing finally.
That first drive, we came out and we had a great mix of run pass, mm-hmm. and it worked. And then after that, the offense went right back to what it was, stinking up the joint. Bunch of three and outs.
Well, on this punt drive here, Tannehill had a short pass to Parker for 10 yards. Then Balazs, which I was banging the drums to run this kid a lot more than they did. But anyway.
Well, when we thought Drake was hurt.
Well, I don't.
He didn't look hurt.
Not hurt. I want to see Balazs run the ball more.
Okay.
I mean, I want to see what we have in him.
Well, then let's sit Gore.
Well, then let's sit Gore.
Yeah. I mean, let's give him that start where he runs the ball on the first play or first, you know, somewhere in the first set of downs, and then pull him out and put Balazs and Drake in there and see what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going anywhere this year. Some fools think we're still in the playoff hunt. I saw a headline saying that today. I'm like, okay, so you can point at the mathematical possibility and say we're still in the playoff hunt, and then you can look at reality and say we have no chance whatsoever, short of, you know, cats and dogs living together.
It's going to be a tough year for us to be able to make the playoffs. It's I don't think
hell
it's realistic.
Freezing over.
I don't think it's realistic. It's not going to happen. But okay, so the first half here ends.
That Bills drive when the Bills, you know, after a three and out, the mm-hmm. next drive was the Bills. They scored two touchdowns on that drive and then missed their extra point. Which I had a feeling was going to come into play later in the game when they missed that extra point, because this was bound to be a close one.
Thank God they did. Okay, so then the half ends, really. I mean, Howard gets his first interception of the night.
Well, come on, you're jumping ahead again.
Okay.
So the Dolphin gets the ball back.
Oh, well,
right?
Okay.
And I had some comments here, and okay. I said, you know, one of my it just looks like Tanny still can't read a defense after 7 years. A linebacker sneaks up to the line, crouches down in what, you know, looks like a blitz. I mean, I know they do that to pretend at time, and then just takes off running straight towards him. He never saw it. Nobody ever saw it. Nobody adjusted to it. He didn't throw the ball away. He didn't, you know, alter the play. The receivers didn't break off, or if they did, you know, he just... It's one of those things that a good quarterback does. He sees that kind of motion. He makes this little slight adjustment, moves the running back to the side, changes a blocking scheme, tells a receiver to, you know, just turn around, something to create that outlet to make a team pay for blitzing, right? Because they're sending an extra guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you the number of times we've just seen that guy take off on a beeline straight for Tannehill, and then he just melts into a little ball.
So now we're at the...
That was yet another three and out. Bills get the ball back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanna highlight our special team success as it happens. So I said something positive about the mm-hmm. kicker, and I said something about the punter, and here we have a special teams, yet another blocked punt. And our invisible high draft pick
mm-hmm.
actually is the one who got his hand on the ball. Harris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
Yeah, well, at least he's getting some special team time out of that first round pick.
You know what we're not getting? We're not getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback.
That's true.
And if you look at our teams, I guess we're heavily invested in mm-hmm. now that Sue's gone.
Right.
It's our defensive ends.
Yes.
And that is, again, shows you the lack of our leadership, our general manager. I mean, we traded for Quinn. We gave up a lot. We pay him a lot.
We drafted Harris in the first
round. Harris. I mean, we still got Wake is getting a nice salary. I mean, these are top players.
Branch is getting overpaid.
Branch is getting way overpaid.
Yeah.
And so none of these guys are really delivering. So it's an issue.
So we get the ball back after that block punt with good field position. And mm-hmm. We're starting to move the ball right away. And running, by the way. Run mm-hmm. pass, actually, both. And then we have back-to-back holding penalties, which completely wrecked the drive.
Yeah. We'll get to those penalties.
And take us out of, you know, not that we were in field goal range yet, but we could have been. Mm-hmm. It just took it. But then we kick, and the Bills fumble the punt. So we get the ball at the 36. We have a nice little drive. We eat up a bunch of the clock. Ryan has a nice little touchdown pass to Drake.
The rest of the game is enough.
Here's a coaching question for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bills are going to kneel with 30 seconds left. Mm-hmm. And the Dolphins come out, and they didn't kneel. They actually ran a play, and the Dolphins start calling timeouts. Like, they're going to get the ball back with less than 30 seconds left, obviously, and do mm-hmm. something with it.
Okay.
Was this a coaching reaction to all the criticism from last week for not being aggressive?
I don't know. When we get to the statistics in this game, it'll show how aggressive we were.
So, all right, we'll get to that. I know you're in a rush to get to it.
I'm just amazed at what this game was. You know, if you think about it, now comes the second half, and we're going to go. I'm not going to go drive by drive. I'm gonna faint here if we do that. The second half, we scored one touchdown. So the second half, second half, we had 41 yards.
I know you're passing. Bursting at the seam. Hold on.
41 yard passing for the whole second half.
Let's just go through the game first. Jeez. Man, yes, I know. We are frustrated old men.
What's frustrating is we're going to go through a second half that once again we do absolutely nothing. The other team adjusts. The other team took it to us. We're lucky. I mean, this game.
Yes.
Wow.
We are lucky.
Wow. Okay.
We'll get to that conclusion.
Go through your second half torture
There's still a few seconds left on the clock in the first half. Alex.
Jeez.
but it's because I want to give Howard credit for picking off that Hail Mary.
I gave him credit.
If you want to call that
a Hail Mary.
I gave him
credit about 30 minutes ago. Yeah. Great, great interception. One of two. And by the way,
we
Howard
gave them
leads the NFL in interceptions.
I know. He's
okay.
He's a stud. He's an easy. Easy answer
but
to
I'm gonna
our
give
question
you a,
later.
An interesting one. Who do you think is ninth in the NFL in interceptions?
Jones?
No.
He started out good. Kiko. Well, I never would have guessed Kiko.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. He's still up there in tackles, so we'll talk about those stats in a minute.
Tackles?
Yeah. Bills
second
come out at halftime.
In the NFL.
Bills come out at halftime, Miami clearly demonstrates that after this first half, we haven't made any adjustment, and we still can't contain Allen. You know, if we have a spy on him, you know, some people, like the broadcasters are saying, well, Kiko appears to be the spy or is the spy. And I'm watching the game, and I'm like, I can't tell who's the spy. Because if whoever's the spy is getting smoked. So Allen runs all over us. We'll talk about those statistics in a minute. And then Allen misses an easy touchdown pass wide open. His inaccuracy just shines like a bright light during this game. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't like him. So they ended up with a field goal. Here's the series. The Bills get the ball back, mm-hmm. right? They're on a third and long. What was Adam Gase's speech about third and long from the end zone last week?
Enlighten me.
We criticized it. We talked about it.
I don't know. He's seen guys get sacked in the end zone. He's seen the Hall
of Famers. Hall
of Famers
get sacked.
And these guys have a rookie. They have a rookie back there.
Yes. So these guys have a rookie back there. It's third and long. He's standing in the end zone.
Well, you don't like this rookie. We'll talk about
this. I do not like him.
Okay.
Okay. There's things I like about him. Mm-hmm. I'll recognize it. Give some. But third and long from their own end zone completes a 19-yard pass. First down.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up punting.
They trusted the rookie.
We got the ball back. Three and out. Bills get the ball back. Start driving. Your superstar Allen that you would rather have throws a pick. It was a great pick by Howard.
Howard baited him.
Yeah.
It was a sown, by the way.
Yeah.
It was a sown.
That should have been a punt, but.
No, but it was a sown, and then what
Kiko
happened?
Kiko extended their drive with yet another personal foul.
Yeah. But anyway, on that interception by Howard. It was a zone, and Howard really just showed
a
different look.
He did the sneaky thing again.
He's sneaky, and he's just incredible. He's we'll talk about
him. He knows how to hide.
Yeah, I love him.
And then close the distance and deceive.
So that rookie fell victim to the same thing.
He's just on his game, man.
To the same thing that Aaron Rodgers, your quarterback.
Luck.
Twice. Oh, luck.
Yes,
right.
Not
luck
Rodgers.
Through two interceptions.
Rodgers did not.
Rodgers didn't get picked up by off? He should have. Luck got twice. Yeah. The same as the rookie.
And once again, craziness ensues. Ryan Tannehill fires the ball, and the Bills pick him off on the very next play.
There you go.
So Howard pick, Tannehill pick.
Yeah, it's like a flashback. It's like a bad movie. I ain't never seen Tannehill throw so many interceptions, but like I told you, he's one of the leaders in the NFL throwing interceptions in the fourth quarter.
When you put the game on his shoulders, he's never been able to handle that weight, you know, only by exception. Next drive, Bills get the ball, and here we see Allen just running freely. Whatever mm-hmm. he was doing earlier to make people miss, he's getting better at it during the game. He's getting more yards, and he's just unstoppable. This was like the Allen drive. And at this point, he was well in the lead, having personal more yards rushing than the Dolphins team had rushing. So, and he never looked back. So the Bills scored a touchdown. And my note here is, once again, it looked like Alonzo was covering a wide receiver in the end zone in the fourth quarter.
Always a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know how the scheme dictates that happening, but it happens every game. And when it happens, they always score.
They score a touchdown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bills take the lead for the first time with and get a 2-point conversion. Made it look easy. But we get the ball back, and we're driving, and I see Drake finally get a carry in a correct situation. In a situation that called for us to run the ball, where we're having success running the ball, we finally handed one off to Drake, and what does he do? 20-yard run. I thought he was going to break that for a touchdown the way he's done some others, but he got tripped up. It was okay. But it was exciting. I'm like, okay, so what do you do when a running back has success like that? He's certainly not winded because he's only carried the ball a couple times during the game.
No, you take him out of the game and rest him.
Yes, that's exactly what we did. You know, he has a great run, so we take him out of the game, and we don't see him run the ball again.
We just don't let the kid get into a rhythm.
I know. Gase doesn't believe in rhythms. He came out and publicly said, you know, I can hand the ball off to any one of these people. The rhythms is a myth. And I've been watching. We've been consuming football our whole lives, and rhythm is not a myth.
No.
Do you remember Ricky Williams?
Every great running back. Sanders, Williams.
The more he got the ball, the harder he ran, and the more tired the defense became trying to deal with him.
Sanka, we used to wear out the guys by the fourth quarter.
It's Ricky Williams was incredible at that.
Drake's not going to wear anybody out, but you know what? He needs to get a feel.
If we were pounding it with a good combination of Drake, Gore, and Ballage, and you know, real commitment to the running game, run first, pass second, which is what this team should be, we would be wearing people out. And Drake would have those opportunities to take off the way he has in the past. But not in Gase's offense.
Yeah.
So Alex, the Adam Gase cutting off of Lawrence Phillips comes into play during this game, and especially now.
At one point, he had three tackles, two solo, one fumble recovery, one pass defended.
Did I say cutting
defended.
Him off? I meant cutting him.
I cut him off, I guess, too.
I haven't been drinking tonight, I swear.
Yeah, I'm going to start drinking. He was having a hell of a game. And matter of fact, at the end of the night, Phillips had more tackles than any defensive lineman on our team.
Of course.
Recovered a fumble, like I said, and also defended a pass. So he had
right up to a point, he was shoving it in Gase's face.
But then
big time.
But then he did a bonehead play.
And basically lost the game for
basically, his team. He really screwed it up. What they had, we were driving on them. And Drake ran for 20 yards and ran the ball down to the 18-yard line. But the next play, Phillip breaks through and destroys Drake for a 4-yard loss. But that wasn't enough. He had to do his taunting. He had to behave like a punk. And they flagged him for taunting and gave us a first down at the 11-yard line.
Yeah. It basically gave us a new life.
New life.
Yep.
It would have been 2nd and 14, which is for our team next to impossible to get.
Uh-huh.
That would have been a field goal. And that would have lost the game for us. That field goal would have lost the game because that would have Miami would not.
We wouldn't have had to pour 4-point lead. It would have 1-point loss. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It would have been a
loss. Even without the whole thing that happened
Phillip,
at the end of the game.
Phillip cost the whole thing because right after that, we got that touchdown to Stills.
So, funny, poetic justice? I don't know.
I think overall, he was always not the brightest, you know, not the sharpest tool in the shed. He was that kind of a guy. And hot
Even all the players said he was lazy.
lazy hot temper, but a freak of an athlete. I heard that he could do a standing flip for a guy that big.
I remember that talking about that when he was a rookie.
When he was,
we all had very high expectations.
I mean,
and then when we stuck Sue next to him, we're like, you know, Sue's going to teach him the ropes,
and
we're going to have the most dominant two tackles in the NFL. And boy, did that never come to play.
Never came to fruition. But you know, that bonehead play, it's just funny, the symbolism. You know, we talk about his play and then Clay dropping the touchdown pass. The two Dolphins, ex-Dolphins, really cost him the game.
That's right. The two the conspiracy theorists will tell you.
Maybe they still love us. And, yeah. You know,
let's do what we can to make sure the Dolphins
win. There's a love-hate relationship between those two guys and us.
Too funny.
But it was pretty cool that worked out in our favor for a change.
So, yeah, let's talk about what happened after that. Danny throws a bad pass into double coverage at the end of this drive. And what happens?
INT?
No. Kenny Steele steals it.
Oh, the touchdown.
He takes it away from the Bills, number 21, and scores a touchdown. And I mean, it was in the end zone that happened.
That was great.
I'm like, God, this is almost a repeat of Carew. He didn't quite moss the guy the way Carew did the week before, but... Mm-hmm.
Let me help you.
It was beautiful in the sense that I was pissed at Tanny's throw because I thought it was a pick in the end zone. And then once again, we were fooled because Stills just took it away from the defender, which was awesome on Kenny's part.
So the next drive is the Buffalo drive.
Gotta love the heart in that kid.
Yeah, the next drive is the Buffalo drive. And they get the ball at the 25-yard line after, again, Sanders kicks it in the end zone.
Yep.
There's all kinds of running. 25 yards by Allen. He drives them all the way down, and they go for a 38-yard field goal, and they miss it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank God they did, because had they hit that field goal, they would have been
If Allen had even the slightest amount of accuracy, he had a wide open receiver streaking down the sideline, nobody between him and the end zone, and he missed him.
We'll talk about his accuracy because there is an issue there. But
so
you
he
know what?
Yet missed and left more points on the field on that drive.
He didn't miss the field goal. He didn't miss the extra point.
Well, it was a 55-yard
field
goal.
And he didn't miss
the
drop by Clay here that you're going to talk in a little bit.
All right.
He put them in a position to win.
He did.
He outplayed the hell out of Tannehill.
Had he completed any one of those open, you know, balls for touchdowns, they would have won.
I would rather have Allen than Tannehill.
And we'll talk about that last play too, because I, you know, was both impressed and not impressed by Allen on the same play. But
we're not there yet.
We've got one more thing that we need to talk about.
If a receiver touches a pelota, he should catch it.
I agree.
So now what? The Wildcat?
The Wildcat.
Oh God.
So I don't want to spend a lot of extra time criticizing Gase for this one because it is certainly not what I would think would be situationally correct here, the type of play. I certainly have no problem with calling a running play here. I think when you're running against a team that has a good defense and they're lining up and they're selling out to stop the run, then you've got to do something that's very fast, very quick, hit a hole fast, big guy leaning forward between two people, you know, one of those things to get that yard. Mm-hmm. Who's the hardest runner that we have?
Gore.
Why don't we hand off to Gore in these situations?
I have no idea.
You know, the answer may be our head coach / offensive coordinator doesn't believe our offensive line is good enough to create that little seam for him to get through in that situation. I don't know. And way too often this season, he's tried to get tricky and pass, right? but for whatever reason, the Bills didn't expect him to pull one of his little tricky things because they left Parker uncovered.
Yeah, they don't care.
So if pass had been an option out of the Wildcat, you actually could have just tossed the ball up to Parker.
And why didn't they? Why don't they have a guy that can do that? I mean...
Ronnie Brown used to be able to do that.
You know,
we ran the Wildcat.
I saw New Orleans take... the Wildcat the other day, and they threw a pass to Breeze for a first down.
Yeah. So I'm not necessarily asking for us to pass in that situation because we've certainly beat on Gase over passing on third and short and fourth and short.
But if
this
it's
season.
Open, it's open.
But yeah, man.
Give what the defense is giving you. I mean, take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, they ran that exact same play once earlier in the game, and Ballage had an 8-yard run out of it. So they ran it again, and he got stuffed for a 3-yard loss. And a lot of people have been the people who have are like us and have already turned the corner on Gase have all taken the opportunity to slam him for calling that play. So I think enough has been said about it. Let's go to the last drive, the Bills, where they where in all sense and purposes they should have won the game.
Mm-hmm.
They're just a bad team. I mean, they were
they're a terrible team.
We are not a good team, and we're terribly.
They did everything they could to give us the game score.
Yeah,
and they did. They did a great job.
It's the only time this year I've seen somebody get more penalties than us.
Yeah, you know how many penalties they had?
Tell me.
13 penalties for 120 yards.
Yeah. I remember at one point them saying 10 penalties for 100 yards.
Yeah,
so.
We're not too bad. We got 8 for 89. So,
that's about our average, isn't it? Don't we usually give up about 100 yards in penalties?
These two powerhouses gave up over 200 yards of penalties.
No wonder nobody outside of pathetic Dolphins fans and Bills fans watched this game. I mean, who wants to watch this crap fest?
But let me tell you, you and I, we should take a moment to talk about Allen for a second because,
yes,
you know, I've liked the kid.
We don't disagree very often.
Yeah, we don't. But this is something that, you know, when the draft came, I said I wanted him as my third choice for a Miami quarterback.
And I said I do not want him.
Yeah, I definitely didn't want Rosen. I definitely didn't want
Rosen either, but for different reasons.
But the quarterback,
I did not want Jackson because I don't think he has capability to be a pocket passer ever.
Even though I'm going to tell you some statistics about him, he outplayed Tannehill this weekend also, okay? So,
well, he runs.
No, he outpassed him.
Okay.
He outyarded. I mean, his offense dominated. Well, our offense, when you
let's put the nightcap on the Bills game and we'll get
into
that.
But look, that last drive, Allen showed you everything a winner has to show you. He put him in a position to win. Already his team had missed field goals. They had 120
yards. He made our defense look like the Keystone Cops. We could not tackle him all game long, and it just continued during this drive right up to the last play.
And by the way, for the guy without accuracy.
A statue like Tannehill would have been sacked 100% without a doubt.
Did you see a couple of his passes that were unreal? That's the thing, that they were professional passes. I mean, that touchdown to Jones was a bullet.
Yeah, he had one good pass and like a dozen bad passes.
But again,
that's what you get with an inaccurate quarterback. Inaccurate doesn't mean he doesn't ever make a pass. Inaccurate means he makes 50% of his passes.
But let me tell you,
that's terrible.
We want to talk about terrible. I'm going to tell you terrible in a second. This kid put the team in a position to win.
Uh-huh.
Something that
and he did what he has done all game long,
and by
is
the way,
miss a wide open uncovered receiver standing in the end zone. He
you
missed
know,
him.
He, which one?
Clay.
Well, he got him the ball.
Oh, he did not.
Clay should have caught
Clay
that
had
ball.
To run like Clay five power forward.
I don't
five
give a damn. He ran to the other side of the field. He avoided four sacks.
Am not
he
arguing.
He avoided four sacks and then threw the ball.
Clay should have caught that ball.
And Clay should have caught that ball.
But Clay didn't have to move. He could have stood right in that spot and the ball could have floated gently down into his lap.
That was one hell of a difficult pass. It was not easy. And the play that he made, as hard as he ran.
Yes, he did.
I mean, the kid
got away from the rush. Nobody could tackle him. Kept
he was a little tired. He had already
out.
Rushed for almost 140 yards.
So it's the tired excuse.
I mean, 140 yards in Miami. Come on.
Oh, man. He's got unreal pocket presence.
Okay, let me.
His pocket presence is off the scale.
And this is a rookie.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
He can do the old Dan Marino step to the side or step up in the pocket and to avoid the rush, or he can just break a tackle. He can juke people out of their shoes.
And he has a professional arm.
I saw him running down the middle of the field faking people out of their shoes. I'm like, holy cow.
But
he looks like a giant lumbering oaf.
He can pass the ball.
He has an arm.
Every one of
the
Dolphins.
He has a cannon for an arm, but
and every Dolphin that was interviewed said they have something special.
Well,
they don't say that about anybody.
He ran his ass off on them. They couldn't catch him.
It's not only the running. The kid has an arm.
He has a cannon for an arm.
Now,
probably throw the length of a football field, but he can't hit the broadside of a barn.
You know, I've been dying.
The reason I don't like him, I'm just going to finish. I won't say anything else, I promise.
Okay.
Is because he was the least accurate quarterback in college of all those in the draft.
Okay, fine.
Accuracy isn't something you can fix, dude.
Yes, you can.
You think you can fix it?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. 100%
because he does have the other tools.
Yes,
he has the
can.
Legs,
and
he has the pocket presence,
this
and
is the
he
same,
has the it factor.
Now remember, this is the same kid that went to Minnesota and spanked him.
By running.
Okay, he's doing it.
Yeah, but he's not going to last doing that.
But the thing is, the kid's got the arm. If you told me that all he can do is run like Jackson,
like
he
Michael
can
Vick.
Pass.
Yeah.
Michael Vick could pass. And Michael Vick showed it.
No. And, yeah, they tried to make him a pocket passer later, and he utterly failed.
This kid may never be a pocket passer, but you know what he is? He's a kid that's going to kill you one way or another.
He has the arm and
he's
the height
and he's got
to be
arm,
a pocket passer.
Height, he's got leadership.
He just doesn't have accuracy.
Leadership. Leadership. He
that's
put
everything for a
he
passer.
Put a terrible team against a bad team, but he put a terrible team in a position that they should have beat us. And
yes,
let me give you
they should have beat us.
Okay, Scott,
and they
here.
Didn't.
I've been dying for this.
We'll
these
take
are,
it.
These are the statistics.
Sort of.
He had 24 first downs to 15 for Miami.
Yep.
He had
on his legs.
This is the interesting part. He had 66 plays to 50 for Miami.
Okay, the Bills had 66 plays.
He created those plays. He kept us. He kept them going. He had 415 total yards.
Damn.
415.
Yes.
Okay. We had 175.
It doesn't even seem like Shady ran the ball. How much? How many yards?
Shady
did he have?
Sucks. Look, look with this kid that you're giving all this crap. There's not one receiver on their team that's better than our receivers. That's not even counting all the guys that are hurt.
I agree.
There's no running back I would take on their team. Shady sucks. The rest of them suck.
Yeah, his career's pretty much over.
And we got Drake, who's better than all of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
and
we
Gore.
Don't use him, but
and
yes.
Gore's better than all of them today.
Grandpa Gore. Sure
Grandpa
is.
Gore is better. The timeless one
yep.
is better than any of them.
He is.
Today.
Agreed.
Then this kid has got no weapons. He's got nothing, and he's outplaying us by 415 yards to 175. Parker is better than any receiver on their team. Okay? I mean, this is, they just cut Benjamin today.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys have nothing.
Yep.
Okay? I'm going to give you some more interesting statistics.
Robert Woods is out there tearing it up.
Rushing yards. They had 198
yards. Why the hell they
traded
him away? I'll
they
never
rushed
understand.
Those nobodies, which was mostly Allen, rushed for 198 yards.
Yeah.
We rush for 60.
Yep.
Now, passing, we pass for 115 yards.
Oof.
The kid passed for 217.
I wouldn't have thought that.
I know you wouldn't, because you're not giving this kid any
credit. I don't remember
credit.
Him ever completing a pass over 5 yards.
Well, his yard. Okay,
yeah,
let's talk about yards. Let's talk yards per play.
Okay.
Their yards per play was 6.3 per every single play.
Yeah, that doesn't define yak, though.
Okay. Our yards per play was 3.5. We couldn't even
how
get...
How the hell did we win this game, Alex?
How? And that's what I'm trying to tell you. Yeah. Time of possession, you know that didn't go our
I
way.
Know.
So I'm going to tell you something
It never goes our way.
Okay. I'm
ever. Have we ever won time of possession this entire season?
No, we don't do that.
We don't. We have the running backs to do it, and maybe not the offensive line, but... our coach won't commit to a scheme like that. So.
No. I mean, if you look at something interesting, if you take a look at what the Ravens did with the rookie quarterback.
What did the Ravens do?
Hold on. Let me look it up. Talk about some other crazy thing for a second. I'm telling you, it just boggles the mind how other teams are taking rookies and they're outplaying Tannehill. I mean, Jackson, everyone says can't pass, right?
Right.
Everyone says, what else? He can't pass. He passed for this. He outpassed Tannehill. He had 125 yards passing. Okay.
How many touchdowns? Tannehill had 3 touchdown passes.
No, he didn't have any touchdowns, but he won the game.
Points is what matters.
But he won the game.
Tannehill, so did Tannehill.
I don't really sure Tannehill.
I don't want to argue on Tannehill's behalf. I don't want him on our team next year.
You know? But look at the difference. He got 25 first downs. Okay? He had 77 plays. We had 50. This kid, a rookie quarterback his team to 27 more plays than Miami.
You're putting it all on the quarterback. How much of that is coaching versus quarterback?
Well, I'm just saying that, well, there's a lot of issues here.
Yeah.
But the Falcons had 45. They just spanked the hell out of them. They had a worse number than we did.
Yep.
Okay, but they got 366 yards, and they gave up 131. What I'm trying to say is a defense needs the help of an offense to keep them off the field, And we're not doing that when we're running 50 plays.
Alex, we're 6-6.
It's a miracle.
It is a miracle.
It's a miracle, and it's smoke and mirrors.
What frustrates me, I can't say to no end, because I understand it to some point, is the people that I see consistently. I understand the glass is half full. I understand being positive. I understand the math, right? It's possible that we made the playoffs.
We could go to the Super Bowl.
We could go 10-6. Yeah, you know, that's mathematically possible. But anyone that knows football, anyone with two eyeballs and a tiny bit of football knowledge knows that that ain't going to happen. Right? So I have an understanding of why fans come out and say positive things about Adam Gase, because one, they don't have as much football knowledge as we have, having played and studied the game and, you know, done all this, what we do for the last, our whole lives pretty much, right?
And we've seen a real good coach and a very bad coach.
That's right.
We've seen the Philbins.
I understand the really lame point of view of, well, look at this list of injuries, and knowing that we're 6-6 shows that Gase is a good coach, okay? My gut's like having to even say that, twist up into knots quite a bit. But what is unbelievable to me is what you told me this morning when we were having our morning conversation about this. A professional said that.
Oh, yeah, an ESPN. Mm-hmm. He actually came out and said that it's a tribute to Gase that we're 6-6, to his coaching. Well, let me tell you a little bit about his coaching here. Check this out, Scott. We were outgained by 240 yards. We averaged 2.6 yards per rush. Per rush.
In this game.
In this game.
Yeah.
In the season, we're 25th in points. We have a point differential of negative 56. We're 29th in total yards.
Right there, the point differential of negative 56.
We have been outgained.
That alone tells you, A, that, you know, if you line up our schedule with the strength of people that we've been playing to get these wins, and, you know, the strength of the people that have given us the beat downs, you know what Adam Gase's coaching capability is.
Look, our first year,
he can win at home against bad teams, and that's it.
Our first year as the Miami Dolphins, when we were the worst team in the NFL, we were outgained by 1,321 yards. We have now been outgained this year by 1,168, third worst in the NFL. Even the year that we had that we almost lost every game, we were only outgained by 875 yards.
Yeah.
So this team is historically bad. The offense is historically bad.
Historically bad.
And when you look at this, and you look at Gase being the offensive guru, I'm going to say it, there's no other way around it. Gase either has to find an offensive coordinator or something's got to give, because this offense is the problem. It's not the defense. We have looked at that defense. The defense is pretty decent. Our offense is in the bottom again. This year, they were in the bottom last year. They were in the bottom his first year.
That's right.
It's him.
It is him.
And it's always one thing or the other. And that's...
Yes, there's a load of excuses.
The quarterback hurt, this and that. Well, get another quarterback.
Yeah.
No, our offensive line. Well, you know, geez. It's always something. Our offensive line, because you had a cocaine-sniffing coach. I mean, those things are embarrassing. You know what I mean? I mean, think about that, Scott. We had a coach that was sending a woman, a prostitute, cocaine picture videos. And that's what the Dolphins have become. That's what that is under Gase. We have become a team that we're really borderline joke on offense.
Yes.
And this is historical numbers that I'm giving you are embarrassing.
I think with the people that we have on the team right now, with better coaching, we would be better than this.
Well, I mean,
that is the reason. That is the ultimate conclusion of why I don't want to see Adam Gase wearing a Dolphins
hat. Listen, man,
next year.
Talk about there's sometimes fantasy and football and real football. They do mirror each other. Sometimes they don't.
A lot of times they don't.
But one of the things that does is every single analyst I hear, they say, why does Gase hate Drake? Well, Drake obviously is in the doghouse.
We've been saying it all year.
You drafted him.
I know.
I never did, because the kid's impossible. I mean,
But Gase used him the four or five or six or however many games it was at the end of last year.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
He used them.
It's unreal.
And he's not using them this year.
And he was the number what back doing those games?
Number one, baby.
Number one. And this year we've seen the flashes.
Yeah. He gets eight carries a game, and half the time he breaks eight touchdowns, at least one or two for a run.
He's got eight touchdowns this year.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he does. Yeah. That's on very limited. He's got eight touchdowns. Imagine if he may have 20.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't.
If he got to what I expected is that he would have. I was expecting he would have 18 to 20 touches a game this year.
Yeah, catching and receiving, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How many touches did he get this last game? I'll tell you right
now. You're the stats man.
I don't want to see this one, but okay. He actually had seven carries and targeted four times. 11. Four targets in
11
passing.
Opportunities.
He caught two balls.
Yeah.
And he had seven rushes. He was second on our team in rushing attempts. Gore got eight.
Oh.
Well, you can't do a lot of attempts when your team has 50 damn plays.
Well, the reason we have 50 damn plays is...
I mean, Scott...
We're not committed to the run in the first place.
I mean, look...
You and I discussed this last week when we were analyzing the Bills, right? Mm-hmm. I specifically said the Bills have the number one pass defense in the NFL.
Yes, you did.
And I said the Bills have like the 15th or 16th run, or maybe 18th. Memory problems again. Mm-hmm. But it was in there. Run defense. So how are you going to scheme this game? If you have good enough running game, you run.
Yeah.
And you pass to alleviate the run instead of run to alleviate the pass.
Yep.
You adjust. You wanted to talk about Bill Belichick today. This is going to be a longer podcast than usual.
Well, not that long. Look, here's the thing about Bill Belichick.
Show the example of how he makes adjustments week by week. This is how he wins.
And you and I have this conversation because
it's not just because of Brady.
I contribute a lot to McDaniel for the offense, but defense is all Belichick. He was a defensive coordinator at New York, at the Giants. Under
Parcells.
Parcells, there you go. Edit that thing. Okay. So now they're playing Minnesota, and Minnesota has been struggling this year. Minnesota has been struggling this year a little bit with the basically stunts. So when I watched the game, the whole game they had one defensive lineman getting down on a 3-point stand, if any. So this is the first time New England's done that all year, and they had no idea who was coming, who wasn't coming, who was going, and they dominated that game. They simply schemed the hell out of it. And destroyed the Minnesota was owned.
This is my point exactly.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a good coach, you scheme to the strengths of your team and the weaknesses of the other team. You analyze, you figure out what's going to work against them, and you make an adjustment to your scheme in order to do so. I never see that. It's the same offense week after week. It's the same play calling week after week.
By the way, I just looked up Drake. He's 19th in the NFL in touchdowns. 19th. That's wide receivers, running back, everybody. Yeah. Four running, four catch, four receiving. Eight touchdowns. He's tied with some pretty good names. David Johnson, Peterson, Aaron Jones. Some guys who are really getting Michael Thomas.
Guys who are getting a lot more opportunities than he's getting.
Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
He's got more than Beckham. I mean, this is unreal.
Yeah.
He's got eight
touchdowns. For the limited opportunities he has, he's doing well with them.
And he's only a hair away from becoming the 13th, because the number 13th
one more touchdown
is nine. Yeah. So Drake is not having a bad season. So let's go quickly to the three players. I think that I want to touch on that real quick.
Okay.
Three players that you would keep that are indispensable for next year as we hopefully rebuild this Dolphin team.
Okay.
Okay. I'll start. Tell me offense or defense. I don't care. I'll start.
Well, defense is the one I'll enjoy talking about because there are players on the defense.
On the defense, I have a couple of honorable mentions, and I would say Jones. I just don't, you know, I would like to keep him even what happened this year. Mm-hmm. And Kiko, who's having, you know, really, when you're second in the league in tackles, ninth in interception, he's having a good year.
If you scheme Kiko into the right spots.
It would be awesome.
Yeah.
But anyway, my number one guy.
When you have him covering a wide receiver.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
So when I go defense.
That's your scheme.
I'm going to say the three guys. I guess we'll go back and forth. The first one I want to probably steal your thunder, Howard. Howard is, I think, a shutdown corner, indispensable, a guy that needs to.
He's the best player we have.
I'll tell you what I was thinking when he got that second.
Unquestionably.
When he got that second interception, Scott, I was thinking, can we please sign him to a long-term contract?
Oh, God, yes.
Can we not do the same stupid thing that happened with
Madison and Surtain?
We can just go on and on with guys that you know, Vernon, all these guys that we don't tie them up.
Yeah.
Can we tie this kid up? Because, I mean, we're talking, I think, a legitimate shutdown corner, leading the NFL in interception.
Oh, let me answer your question. If Tannenbaum is still the VP of whatever the hell he is, our equivalent of GM's czar, football czar, no.
That's sickening.
Yeah.
I mean,
and if the only way we do is if we give him some ungodly quarterback type of money just ruins the rest of the team. So, okay, he does that too. He either won't lock them down or he'll massively overpay them.
Way overpay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my number one choice, indispensable. Tie him up to a contract and reward this kid. Who would you say is one of your threes?
Well, I always look to youth for the future. So I love everything I've seen from Minka, and it statistically bears out. So Minka is my guy for the future.
Me too.
Indispensable.
Me too.
You don't do anything with that kid except put him in a position to succeed.
I think we got a future, I won't say Hall of Famer, but a Pro Bowler.
Could be.
For sure Pro Bowler.
Yep.
I mean, he knows for the ball. He's going to make those plays. I love him. Number three, I might surprise you, Baker.
I thought I was going to sneak one in there with you. So,
Baker?
Yeah.
I think this kid will be the real thing. He's got the speed. He's got the agility.
He was my surprise.
I love him.
Yep.
I would say it, indispensable. We
got
to
He's got a
Baker.
Nose for the ball, a nose for the play. He's finding ways to get into a play. And whatever, all the criticism and doubt that even I...
That I had?
Bought into.
Yeah.
Hearing and you know, about him being light in the bud and, you know,
skinny
another Ohio
guy.
State guy and all that. You know, I was the opposite. I thought McMillan was going to be great and that Baker was going to be a bust, and it's the flip of that coin.
And what's really sickening
Baker
about our
cool.
list is
he looks
that
like he has a future, man.
I love this kid, and I think those are the three guys. And I was thinking hard. I wanted somebody from the defensive line, the defensive end. We have nothing there.
There's nothing that I would say either indispensable or honorable mention. So, I mean, Wake's at the very end of his career.
Yeah,
you got. I mean, I wouldn't even mind trading him if we actually got something for him.
For who?
Wake.
Eh.
I don't want to ever see him.
Nobody will trade for him.
I know. Everyone knows how long the tooth he is. And I don't ever want to see him in another uniform anyways.
Well,
he's a Dolphin.
Let's move to the other side of the pelota, the offense. And my two honorable mention guys are kind of, one will shock you, and I'll probably shock you first, Parker. I have him because I think he's still got all the talent in the world.
He shows it. He shows flashes of it even this year.
But
he,
I can't.
He has all the talent in the world.
I can't put him on the list. But that's my honorable mention number one, or number two, whichever. My other one is Gore, because I love Gore, and I think he's played so hard that he's earned everyone's respect. But
it's honorable mention.
Those are honorable mentions.
Oh yeah, okay.
Guys that
I'm okay with honorable mention.
Yeah, those guys deserve it now. My number one, I don't know if it's my number one. Well, it is my number one. It's Drake.
I agree. It's hard to state it based on the lack of
what
use.
We've seen.
Yeah. But again, I cannot believe that it is his fault. I have
Scott,
to believe that it's
Scott,
our coaching.
Scott, you were shocked when I told you he's top 20 in touchdowns in the NFL.
Yeah, I didn't.
Top 20 in the NFL.
As soon as I thought about it, I said, okay, he's actually scored a lot of touchdowns.
But think about that for a second. Top 20. That's so impressive.
When week after week, we've been complaining about him not being used.
When last week he touched the ball, what did we say again? 11 targets?
Yeah.
I mean, he's being played like a Sproles. I mean, Sproles may see more touches than him. That's a change of pace back. That's yeah. not what he should be.
No, it is not.
So, and who would be your choice for
Tunsil?
Indispensable. Who?
Tunsil.
Woo, good choice.
Yep. His his PFF choice. Ratings and his record bears out. He hasn't he didn't give up a sack against the Bills. He's had a lot of sackless games. I don't have this year, the stats guy. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'd be surprised if he'd given up more than three all year.
I think it's a great choice. I had him in my list, and he barely didn't make. I couldn't put him above Gore, and I just think talent wise, Parker's ahead of him. But that's a great choice. You know, I want to put one that's in the injured reserve list, and I really think we got to get this kid back, Grant.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Wilson.
Wilson's
a better player than
Wilson's
Grant.
My other choice.
Yeah.
I had my three lists.
I like Grant too.
I think those two guys have to be on the field at the same time.
Yeah. Wow.
At the same time.
We'd have a ton of speed. Well, that's for sure.
I still remember that high five. Grant, that's probably the greatest play of the season. Grant's size. Was those two guys giving that high
thing
five.
The only thing that takes off from Grant for me for being a starting offensive player is his side. It comes into bear. When he's streaking down the sideline with all the speed that he has, one of the tall guys is going to out, you know, if the defender's even close to them, they're knocking the ball away. They're, you know.
Yeah, just think of Grant running those patterns with Drew Brees or something. I mean, put him with a good quarterback. That kid and is dangerous.
With the West Coast offense and the dink and dunk and us constantly throwing screens and really 3-yard passes and expecting to get yak, they're great guys to have because if you can hit them in the open field, they got to make one guy miss and they're off to the races.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are my guys. Those are my boys
that I
thought would never have been. Well,
I was so sad to see Grant go because he gave us that spark on special teams too. Every time there was a kickoff,
and
every
Wilson
time there was
single-handedly
a punt,
won.
You knew you had that feeling that Grant had the potential to bust it.
And Wilson single-handedly beat the Raiders. But again,
he did.
We've won.
We should have lost to the
teams.
Raiders, really, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and the Bills. I mean, that's really that's
yes.
The, well, now comes the Patriots, man. We got to wrap this up. But, I mean, the Patriots, I'll just give you the one statistic. It's 52 victories for the Patriots, 54 for our beloved Dolphins. Boy, it's tough. I mean, we've lost.
We still own the series, but we're only two games away.
We've lost four of the last five games.
Yeah.
We got really spanked earlier in the year, 38-7. I don't see how on earth we're going to win this game.
We're not going to win this game.
I think we could keep it close if New England looks the other, you know, just kind of like.
Really?
Yeah,
no.
I do. I really do.
No.
I think that our players will look at it as like the Super Bowl.
They have in the past.
They have in
surprised
the past.
Us in the past.
And, they're going to play hard. I don't believe Gase teams have, except for once.
Belichick is too smart.
He's gonna outcoach us. We know
massively
that.
But
But can the Dolphins?
Kiko's
compete?
Gonna make 15 tackles, 20 yards down the field again. You know.
But can
they
we compete?
They should run all over us, and Brady should have an easy day.
But can we compete?
No pressure on Brady. He only passes when he needs to. They run all over us all day long.
Yeah, Gronk.
I don't
Gronk is finally gonna get. But healthy again and catch
he
all
is?
The
is he coming
he's,
back?
He's no, he's been healthy. It's just he has
I didn't
last
know.
Week he had a very bad week.
Yeah, you know, I tuned out the last couple of weeks New England. I don't know why I did that.
No, but Michelle.
Oh, I know. I'll blame my wife. She has had so much stuff planned that I get to watch our game, and that's about all the time I have.
Michelle, listen, Michelle is back healthy, and the team is healthy. It's going to be a rough game. I predict us to lose. I just think that we could surprise and keep it competitive, was something we didn't do in New England. But we've been competitive in Miami consistently.
We have been. Yes, we have. But I don't think we will be this
you
week.
Don't, well.
I don't feel it. I don't see it.
We can't do the penalties we've been doing because they'll kill us.
We will. What makes you think we're going to stop?
No, nothing really.
Yeah. What makes you think that Tannehill's not going to hold the ball too long?
I think
miss a deep pass for that would be points. You know,
I don't think we can run the ball.
We're gonna try and pass the ball.
Mm-hmm.
What's their defensive stats?
Total defense, they're 22nd. They're not very strong. They're giving up 369 yards average per game versus us at 399.
So we should be able to score against them.
We should be able to score, yeah. Then again, they could scheme against us like they did against Minnesota, and they made Minnesota look pretty silly. Last time we played them, they had a must-win situation.
Yeah.
When it's like a one-game playoff type of thing, a Super Bowl, got to
win.
So what's the prediction? We're going to lose?
I predict we lose by... Yeah,
I agree.
10 points.
I agree. I would tell you, if I had to pick a score, I would say 17 points.
I never pick actual point scores, but I see like 32 to 21 or something.
Yeah.
And our last touchdown is
I just see us having a tough time scoring against them.
I mean, we could come out and give the illusion of being in this game, or we could come out and just go down 14-0 and not really be a part of it. I don't have a sense
of how drive by New England is going to say a lot.
Yeah.
Because if they just go to us like a knife through butter type of thing, whatever that's.
Who's going to get the ball first?
I hope we do. I will never have Brady get the ball first.
Yes.
If
any
Gase
way
is,
you could possibly
if
limit
Gase
it.
Is a moron and does that, like he likes to do it, he's an idiot. Because I don't want that guy touching the ball first. I want us to touch it first. Let us hopefully take it down the field like we've done the last two games. Score on them. Maybe we get lucky. I mean, Howard picks this guy off. Next thing you know, we're in this game. We got a couple of touchdowns. I mean, that's what we got to hope for. We got to dictate. We can't be passive.
Yeah. If we have a chance at winning, it's based on turnovers.
Based on...
Because our defense is good at, the only thing our defense is good at is turnovers.
But Brady, the only way you shake him is with pressure. And
I don't see us getting pressure on him.
I don't see it. I mean, unless Quinn wakes up for this game, and you know Wake will give it everything because he hates Brady and likes to go after him. And
Well, other players like Branch are getting more snaps than Wake these days.
We're gonna have to revamp that defense. It's gonna be a tough. This will be a rough game. Now, looking ahead, if we lose this game like we anticipate, we now go to 6-7.
That's pretty much as we predicted from the preseason. We both said we'd have a December slide and that we'd lose all the games in December. With a possibility of beating the Bills, but we both actually picked us to lose.
In
Buffalo.
And after what I saw this last Sunday,
I believe it
even stronger now. Yeah.
The only thing I didn't expect was the Jaguars to be as bad as they are.
That's a blessing.
They're an offensive.
I don't know if that is a blessing or whatever it is, but it gives our team a chance to beat them.
Yes.
The Dolphins, we could come in and give the Jags, because that Jag team, well, then again.
Their defense is still great.
Well, it wasn't great until recently, but they shut out, you know, a guy like Luck.
Luck.
Wow, that's scary.
It is scary.
What are they going to do to us?
Exactly.
I mean.
You know, Luck is a better
negative points?
Offense than we are.
Is there a way the Dolphins will be like negative? Jags 3, Miami -4.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tough one. Well, let's stay positive and let's hope that somehow we can pull another miracle and beat the hated Pats.
All right, my friend. It's been great once again.
Awesome. It's always awesome.
Good night.
Good night.
We want to thank the band Tartanic for the use of their music, awesome bagpipes and drums. Head on over to tartanic.net to see what they're up to. Check out their music, albums, all their other stuff.